Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, welcome to the podcast. I'm Ben, here with our auto editor, Scott. Scott, how are you doing today?
Fantastic. Thank you, Ben.
Hey, no problem, man. I'm here for you. I've got an interesting question today, one that I think might really apply to some of our listeners and certainly has applied to me before.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay.
What have you got?
All right, you ready?
Not anytime.
Okay, used cars, but not just used cars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't curse on the airwaves, so we'll just call them lemons.
Sure.
How about that?
Okay.
What is a lemon car?
Well, first thing I have to say is I think lemon laws actually pertain to new vehicles. I don't think it's a used vehicle that that can be considered a lemon, really. You might be able to purchase a lemon vehicle from a manufacturer after they've made the necessary repair, but I think a lemon actually... it has to do a lot to do with the warranty and the original warranty from the manufacturer.
Oh, okay. So reasonable amount of repairs expected, that kind of stuff?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's not every state is the same. They're all different. That's
okay.
That's one thing probably learned is that they vary from state to state, and it's not a specific formula. There's no, three repairs, for the same item. There's not any kind of limit to what they can do. But you can also use that information to build a case, I guess, when it finally gets to that point that I'm tired of driving this car, I've had the same problem five times or four times or whatever, and it's a safety hazard. I want you to either I need this fixed. What are you going to do for me?
Okay.
That's when it gets to that point. Really, the lemon laws I think are a point where that's kind of like the last part of the whole equation. There's the chance that there's all this opportunity up front for the manufacturer to make everything right. And, that's good. They deserve that, I guess, the right to, bring the vehicle back, make the repairs that are necessary to make it drivable or, reasonably, safe. It should be very safe. So, yeah, the lemon laws are the very last part of that, really.
Oh, well, okay. Well, I guess then, logically, the first part would be you take your new car home, and the next morning or something, you get up to about 35 miles an hour somewhere, and then it starts chugging.
Mm-hmm.
Or something like
that. Well, yeah, something like that. I mean, if it's the same thing again, whatever happened to the vehicle, previously,
mm-hmm.
And you take it back and it's the same problem, your experience is the same situation, and you take it back and they can't repair it, or they do repair it and say it's all taken care of, you take it home, and then it doesn't have to be the next day. It could be months later. It could be, mm-hmm. Several thousand miles later when this happens. If you continually go back for the same repair under warranty and it gets in the way of the drivability of the vehicle, it's in the shop for 30 days or more, and that's
wow.
That happens. It really does. I've seen it happen before, and that there's a point where they have to make it right, and they can either do that by the manufacturer can make it right by either buying the vehicle back from you, which is paying you for your cost, mm-hmm. Whatever you paid for that vehicle, or they can they have a chance to replace the vehicle. They can give you a brand new vehicle. I don't even know if it has to be the same exact type or not. I think they can. It's kind of flexible. We can give you this, or we can get you into this model, if you don't like that other one.
Uh-huh.
There's a little bit of flexibility, but they do have to make it right.
As you said before, when we speak about these things, we need to be very careful and make sure that we speak in broad terms because, as you said, state laws differ,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, that's right. And neither one of us are lawyers.
Yes.
So
as far as
we're even close to that. Yeah.
I started an internet quiz, but I don't think that qualifies me.
No, I don't think so.
To represent us.
That's more than I've done.
Hey, man, I will send you the link. So it sounds like the description we have so far is good, and they're kind of characterizing these laws as a set of state-specific guidelines for the last resort of a consumer.
Yeah, that's right. It's the very last resort, I guess, for the consumer is that, they say, well, I'm not happy with this vehicle. It's not meeting my standards or even just the standards of the manufacturer. This is to provide a working automobile for what you've paid for.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you have to remember that they have to have that reasonable amount of repair attempts, and that's kind of a gray area.
I see.
When you have that
okay.
reasonable amount, it could be anything. They could say like, well, it's not a safety issue, so we've done our best. Sure, this repair attempt is stretched out over 2 years,
right?
But it's nothing that is putting you in danger. It's an inconvenience, of course, but, mm-hmm. If it was like seat belts or something, you know, let's say you get in the car and the airbag continually blows on you when you, you know, turn the, that would be something that you'd want that taken care of immediately. Sure. And never to have it happen again.
I see the gray area.
Yeah, there's a gray area. It depends on the situation. It really is case by case, and the judge or arbiter, I think, can decide what's right and what's wrong.
You know what this reminds me of, Scott? When I think, I'll embarrass myself again here in the span of one podcast. I think it was the James Joyce book Ulysses came to the States and was originally banned. And ultimately, now again, I'm sure our listeners will tell me the real story if I'm getting this wrong. Ultimately, the court passed a ruling about what is and is not pornographic. And the ruling ultimately, I think, became in favor of Ulysses because we can read it in this country now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you hear people say, I know it when I see it, kind of.
Yeah.
And it seems like that ambiguity has led to some of the differences in Lemon laws. I was really interested when I found out that the answer to everything basically depends on the state in which you buy the car. So if you live in Florida, and Florida has different, you know, a statute of limitations maybe, or different things qualify for a Lemon vehicle, but you purchase that vehicle in Georgia, then you're kind of out of luck, depending on how those laws interact.
Wow, okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting. I did know that if you take that vehicle across a state line, that they would change, you know, what ruling affects your vehicle.
Well, that's where I was wondering too, because it says in some states you have to have a lawyer, in some states, you know, it's different, but the answer to a lot of the detailed questions, as far as I understand, depend on the state you purchase it or register your vehicle in. So I guess if you buy a vehicle but register it somewhere, you know, there's some play there. There's some
Latitude. Little bit of ambiguity in that. Uh-huh. One thing, you know, I wanted to, I don't think I mentioned it earlier, I'm sure I didn't, was that there is kind of a fee or a price, I guess, that the person who owns this supposed Lemon vehicle has to pay back to the dealership when the law is finally enacted, I guess. I'm not sure if I'm even saying that right. What I mean is if a vehicle is determined to be a Lemon and it's purchased back from the purchaser by the manufacturer, you have to pay for the use of the vehicle for the time that you did have it. So let's say you drove the car, you know, it's still under warranty.
Sure.
But let's say you're buying or even leasing a vehicle and you've driven 10,000 miles, you know, while this problem is happening, or 6,000 miles or whatever, 5,000. There's a formula that they use to determine how much that mileage is worth to them, or how much of the vehicle that you've, I guess, used up, if you want to call it that. So you are responsible for paying them back that amount, kind of making it right, I guess, you know, that you can't have free use of a vehicle for 2 years and then expect them to replace it with a brand new vehicle.
Sure.
I understand. I know it's not.
That's ridiculous.
It is.
I think.
Okay, well, you're probably right. But,
well, I'm probably not a car.
One other thing, though, is that the manufacturer is responsible to pay for taxes, license, registration, other things like that. Or if you had any towing that maybe had come up during the during the problem. So, you know, it's a give and take, I guess, in this situation. You know, there's some things that the owner's responsible for and some things that the manufacturer's responsible for. And I would guess in most cases it kind of balances out. You know, it makes it fair.
Well, here's a question then. I was under the impression when we began this podcast that Lemon cars were used. It sounds as though the majority of them are new, and only maybe a few states have car laws that also pertain to, I guess, leased or used vehicles. Are there Lemon laws for things that are not cars? You know,
is there a
motorhome?
I'm not even sure about that. I would think that they would. I think the motorhome would probably fall under something like that. Okay. I don't know about boats. I mean, sink or float. I don't know what.
Yeah, right.
You know, you got two choices. So
that's probably true.
Let's see. I just don't know. I'm not sure if a boat would fall into that or not.
And I guess if somebody purchased a celebrity or a very wealthy person purchased a jet of some sort, probably Lemon laws don't really enter into the conversation.
I wouldn't think so. No, they probably would just replace that at no question for the. You know, the publicity. One thing we should say also is that these laws are in place to protect the consumer.
Okay.
It's so that, you know, they don't, the manufacturer doesn't put out a subpar product and, you know, just say, enjoy it, and, you know, that's your problem once you purchased it. But they do protect the consumer and, you know, gives us a chance to say, you know, something's not right with this. You make it right one way or another. Either I get a new vehicle from you that behaves the way it should, or, you know, I'm going to another manufacturer with my money.
Without a crystal ball or any other kind of predictive powers on my part, I'm probably more than 70% certain that someone has tried to get an additional award in the court for, you know, emotional trauma.
Oh, I'm sure.
Or something like that. Right?
I'm sure. I'm positive that's happened. Hey, I got one quick story
that
this reminded me of, because I saw this years ago.
All right.
This is when I lived in Michigan, in Detroit, so, you know, there's a huge car culture there. This person had parked, and it wasn't an American-made vehicle. It was a German vehicle. Let's just say that.
Okay.
It's parked right at the end of a driveway on a busy street, very busy street. And this is right near where I used to live. One day, going to work, and I see this car. And it's parked right down by the road again, you know, nose out, and it has giant yellow poster boards surrounding it. Nearly surrounding it, that say this car is a lemon in big bold letters, and they even went so far as to have they had bags of lemons hanging from the mirrors on the, you know, the side mirrors. They had bags of lemons laying against the wheels. Mm-hmm. They had just assorted lemons kind of scattered all over the vehicle. They had them, you know, placed on top of like the windshield wiper area, you know, lining across that, stuffed anywhere they could really, like on the front grill. They had a few of them balanced up there, but. They were trying to make a statement that, you know, hey, there's a problem with this car, and they're not taking care of it. So
weird.
Yeah, it was really strange. That's the only time I'd ever seen anything like that.
Yeah, that's strange.
Yeah, it caught my attention. I'm sure, you know, I don't know, thousands of other people that pass that vehicle. I don't know if you would. I mean, it has to play into your psyche when you're looking for a new vehicle. Like, hey, I think I remember seeing that model, and there was a problem. So, you know, it's bad publicity.
Definitely.
For the manufacturer. That's for sure.
I have one question that I thought was pretty important I wanted to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a specific point where individual reports of lemon cars for a specific model trigger something like a mass recall? Or, you know, we talked about the Edsel before, which was notoriously...
Mm-hmm. Poor performer, yeah. It
right,
had a lot of problems, we'll say that. Well, I think internally they kind of determine that, hey, we've got a problem with this. We'll investigate it first. They pay attention to every one of those that gives them problems. Internally, there's a lot of investigation going on, and if it's a repeat offender, you know, this part or this symptom or whatever's happening, they definitely pay attention to it because they don't want this evolving into something bigger. And they try what they normally do is they try to find the simplest fix for something like that. So, you know, they put. Well, the best minds right there at the headquarters on it, you know, wherever, you know, if they know somebody that has a fix, they listen to that, of course, as well. They try to figure out the best way to get around this so that, you know, it doesn't require a mass recall. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, if it's not a safety issue, you know, they send out a notice that, you know, bring your car in, we'll repair it, you know, we'll make this repair for free. And it'll prevent this problem, or they probably don't say it'll prevent this problem, but bring it in, we'll take care of this for you.
And by agreeing to bring it in for that free repair, you also agree not to bring a lawsuit.
Yeah, that's right. Those are those notices that I've mentioned here, technical service bulletins or service bulletins, and you know, that you can bring the vehicles in and have them taken out, you know, taken care of. Just make sure that you're safe.
Hey, I've got a pretty good idea. You want to hear it?
Well, yeah, love it.
All right. What if we close with this topic by giving our listeners some tips about how to handle a suspected lemon car, you know?
Tips?
Well, yeah. For instance, if you think your car might be a lemon, what do you need to do? Because what do most people do wrong, right? Of course, I'll just assume that they wait until it's too late.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, first, I mean, if you notice anything, take it in right away to the dealership. Take it to, because, you know, again, you've got a new vehicle, it's under warranty.
Yep.
Take it to the dealership and have everything documented. That's huge. Documentation is big in this because if it ever does progress to the point where there's a problem, where you need to enact these lemon laws or you need to kind of investigate a little further, the documentation is what's going to, you know, help you out in the end. So definitely do that. Make sure that, you know, the place you go to is certified. You know, of course, if you're going to a dealership, you know, a manufacturer's operated facility, you shouldn't have a problem really. But don't neglect something that, you know, for too long, especially under warranty. There's no reason to. Just take it in and have it checked out. Even if it means you're not going to have your car for a day, get it taken care of.
before it's too late.
That's late.
I'm kidding. Scott, thanks so much for coming by to explain some of this to me. I've never had a lemon car. I hope you haven't, have you?
You know, I think you would know if you had one.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think you would.
Well,
yeah,
we have both lucked out, and hopefully our listeners have as well. But for any listener who wants to find out more about lemon cars, used or new autos, or anything related to cars at all, please check out HowStuffWorks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com.